Are you on?
We are on now.
My headphones are not on.
Uh-oh.
Why would you do that to me?
Just trying
to... You're supposed to set me up for success.
Do you know what show we're going to do right now, Rich?
We're going to show number 10.
Number 10, okay.
Is and it what actually year? Number 10?
And what year is it?
2020 now.
Okay, good. We'll get that right.
I don't need to say that, though, because
we'll see.
It doesn't matter anymore. We're not doing the yearly roundup episode. Just going to keep talking.
All right. Well, talk us in, Rich.
All right. Welcome to the Skimmate Podcast.
With Rich and Terrence.
With Rich and Terrence, we're going to talk to you about everything reefy that's reefy reefable. Here we go. This music, Terrence is dancing. This is an interesting day.
Here we go. Here we go.
We got a bunch to talk about. We're excited about tanks and reefs and corals.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Rich. So,
welcome back, Terrence.
It's been a couple of weeks.
It has.
Since the last time we recorded. And the time machine is on. So what's going on? Yeah,
it's been 4 minutes since we last recorded. I mean, just pull the curtain back right now.
Okay.
What's going on? Things are good.
Yeah.
Tanks are good.
Yeah.
I'm moving ahead with the revamp of my secret home lab.
Okay.
Which has now become a little bit more secret, which is kind of interesting because the secret home lab was always, you know, it's a funny joke.
Right.
But now
you're actually doing things in there that you can't let people know about.
There's some stuff I shouldn't be talking about, so that's kind of interesting.
Oh, man.
So
suspense.
There.
The suspense.
So there.
I hear that it's...
because I'm growing beef in my...
There's going to be some sort of...
Reef beef.
Reef beef.
That's the name of the...
It's the meat you need.
The other wet meat.
All right. All right. We got to get this.
All right.
That's
the Terrence I'm uncomfortable
with. So my reef is going well too. I am getting some of that lower die off thing that you talked about in the last episode in some of my corals.
Reefs grow,
yes,
they die at the bottom. That's how they grow.
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing too is, I have that same coral that you pointed out that said I gave to you, right? Which was right here.
Dragon's butt.
Oh, no. It's called something. Little Red Ferrari.
And what kind of coral is it?
Some sort of echinata, something or other.
Okay. That's good. Yeah.
Hey, I'm not as dumb as I smell.
That's true.
But
you smell really dumb.
I have that coral. That coral is now the size of a basketball in the bottom area of my tank, and it's just now started to like die off and get, you know, some recession and white and whatnot underneath it because it's getting less light, it's getting less flow, it's not happy.
Yeah, as the coral grows, the flow down the center can go away.
Yep. And so we'll see. We'll see if the rest of the coral can handle it or not, or if it becomes another one of those ornaments in our living room.
It's made calcium reactor food.
Yeah, or food for the calcium reactor. Although this one's got such a pretty shape, it would make a great ornament.
Or you could sell it.
Yeah, I guess.
You could sell it to...
The shell collector?
Sell it to Vincent.
Okay. So anyway, other things that are going on in my tank is I have these Heniochus butterfly fish in my tank that I read an article from Matt Wandel to help pick these things that said these are the ones you should get, and I got the ones that I supposedly should get. I can't remember the names, Diphrates versus this. I can't remember which one is the correct one. And I love them. I actually love the fish. I know a lot of people, it's a love-hate, I think, for this particular fish.
Yeah, we talked about it once standing in front of your tank.
Yes, but I love them, and they are beasts now. I got them when they were, like, probably 2 inches.
They're, 2 feet across.
They are huge.
They are not two feet across.
They are my hand, though.
They're huge.
They are my hand now.
They are full-grown Heniochus.
And they eat like pigs. They eat, like, 5-millimeter pellets like nobody's business, right? And I love them a tank, and they add that feeling of a real reef into your aquarium. But they are brutes now, and they're keeping me from having other corals. So I'm considering taking them out.
Yeah.
How do I do it, Rich, for a big old fish like that? They're stupid fish, too, I think.
A trap.
You have to use a trap?
I would trap them. You should be able to trap those guys, no problem.
Even that big? Well, they go for any kind of food.
Idiots.
Yeah, they're idiots.
So you get
the
big, you know, the big aquamedic trap? It's got the door.
You have one I can borrow?
Yeah, I do, actually.
That's awesome.
And I think it's set up with a magnet, by the way, so you can attach it to the front glass.
Okay.
Which is so great.
So you want some Heniochus?
No. No. If you recall the conversation we had, I said, why do you have those fish? You're insane. And you're like, I love them. They're so great. They're horrible. They're going to be doing heroin. And now here you are crying at my feet.
There we
to
go.
Help you. You could also, you could probably hook and line them. I have a teeny rod and reel that I have used.
I know for sure, but I would feel horrible if I ripped their mouths out or something.
Well, you do that. You try the other things first.
Yeah,
right? There's all the things you try. The first one is the trap.
You don't think that at night, because they kind of sometimes in the corner, I could dip them out at night?
You might be able to do that too.
Okay.
You screw that up, you'll never catch them again.
Yeah.
So you have to be right with that.
Okay.
So if you're going to do that, you don't have to be, but it makes it better. If you're going to do it,
because
have
once
somebody
they know
there
that
you,
there's the net and it's like.
Yeah, now they're not safe anymore. You
I
have
see.
Made them not safe.
I see.
Which is why the same thing when you're trapping a fish. Make sure it goes all the way in. People are really want to the fish went in, make the trap, spring the trap.
Okay.
But if you screw that up, some of the fish will not go back into the trap ever.
Wow.
Some will go right back into the trap, and some you'll just have to wait a week.
Do their friends learn from each other?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. If you've got, it's like a dither fish. If you've got fish that go into the trap, other fish start going, oh, maybe I should go in there. So when I put a trap in, I just put it in and leave it for a week.
Okay.
Don't do anything.
Okay.
It's just
get them used to it.
Just a new thing in there.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll go in by themselves. Maybe they won't.
Okay.
Right. This fits into my rant that we're going to do at the end of the episode about people not wanting to
do the work.
Bother.
Okay. All right. We'll get that.
So you just put that in, and then all your feeding goes on in there.
Okay.
Afterwards. That's it. And eventually, you can try all the different foods you want. You could put, LRS is nice and sticky. So for fish like Heniochus, that might be great. Something meaty.
They don't care. They're just pigs.
Yeah, if they go for it, great. I've often used live brine because that gets things to go in. So there's a whole suite of things to try to go through. The easiest is the trap. You got a big fish. They'll probably stuff themselves into a trap. But put the food in and see if they're going in.
Okay.
And see if they'll both go in at the same time.
Yeah,
they
usually do.
For food.
They compete for it, yeah.
And then train them to do that. If you can train them to take food as you put it in the top of the trap with the turkey baster.
Okay.
And spring the trap, you win.
Oh, wow.
Right? That's the best way to do it. And then you've caught both the fish at once and you're great. If not, you do it one at a time.
But who should I give them to?
You should give them to?
Yeah, who should I give
them to? Robert and Neptune Aquatics?
Robert and Neptune Aquatics.
I don't know who wants it. I don't know. That's a really good question, though.
They're beautiful fish, though.
Well, it's one to talk about. So now you've got a big fish that can be problematic.
Right.
Where's it going to go?
Right.
So I like that you're asking the question because most people don't. Figure out a place that will
get that ahead of time. Get that figured out ahead of time.
Or you just throw them in your sump.
Yeah. Just throw them in the sump. Okay.
And then you'll see them when you go into the cave and you can feed them. You throw them in the sump, they'll be easier to catch in the sump.
That's true, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you're going to catch them with at night when they're asleep, have somebody else with a couple of flashlights peg them so they're blind.
Right.
So they can't see anything and then swoop on them with the net.
Okay.
If you don't, if they see the net coming.
Right.
And once you start down the net road, have a very clear idea in your head how far you're willing to
break.
Because it's very easy to get caught up in that. And
all
of a sudden you've broken
tearing,
everything.
Yeah,
everything
tearing up. No, it's like in the corner of my reef where there's not any corals and stuff that they sometimes just at night, just sleeping over there or whatever. Yeah.
Well, try the trap. We'll see if it works.
Right.
And if it doesn't, we can.
It's great advice. And I hope that's great advice for all you listeners out there, too. You know, that might have this problem and be as stupid as me and put Heniochus in your tank.
I'll give you my rod to try.
Although I do love them still.
Yeah, no. Well, set up another tank for them. It's not like you don't have space.
Oh, please. One tank is enough.
No, come on. You put another tank right underneath that tank, put another one right on top, put one in the bed.
No, my friend. Okay.
Anything else with the Heniochus?
No, that's pretty much it, man.
No, I think you'll be able to catch them. We don't even have to talk about.
And then I can put some LPS back in the tank again and start to have a mixed reef a little bit again, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a few LPS in there that they don't touch, so that's good.
Yeah, well, there's a reason people don't put Heniochus in their tanks.
Do they eat the MPS stuff too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They got tiny little mouths that like to peck at stuff and eat it. They're going to eat anything they can.
Okay.
Especially once they get big and hungry and they start pecking it.
So once I get rid of my Heniochus, you're going to give me some starts?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, good.
And then I also you can use a crab trap, which is bigger, but it's metal. But let's try the trap first.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's going on my tank? Like we said, Dwayne was here, and we were talking about scorched earth versus bonsai reefing.
Okay, let's get into that a little more detail.
I tend to do bonsai reefing, which is I'm going in every couple of months and doing a little bit of pruning here and there, moving stuff around so I like the colors and so I like the textures. And
right.
So it's nice and distributed and little cuts here and there. And
sure.
But the tank is doing really well now and actually has been. So that means stuff is growing faster. And some of the stuff gets together and lives just fine together. And
right.
Some of the stuff stings and kills things.
Yeah, lots of it does.
So I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you were here, but I had some RTN up in the corner of like a red planet that I got from Joe Cap a million years ago at a Macna and another one. And I had a little bit of recession. It was STN. It was slow. Mm-hmm. It was going over a couple days.
Yeah.
I told some people about it. They freaked out. I said, shut up. It's two corals in this tank. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
I'm not chopping them up. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
And I looked a little bit, and I could see the euphilia behind them had grown out, and I'm 99% sure that that stinging made them go, ugh. So I moved them forward a little bit so they're not getting stung anymore.
So you go around and prune here, prune there, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but sometimes the pruning's pretty major. In this area that I'm showing you here, in the back, there were there was a whole another table of corals, 8, 10 inches around and 5 inches thick.
Yeah, that big flat,
big
what
flat
was it?
Piece. Well, it was a bunch of corals Solarensis on top of a bunch of stuff. There was the Eflo.
Eflo, okay.
But there's a lot of other acros growing back there. And that whole thing fell down one day. And then I did a little bit of moving. And I love it because I had to cut down a stag that was further forward.
Right,
so I
right.
put a big chunk of that back. And I love when you do manicuring of your tank majorly and it doesn't. And 2 days later, you kind of go, oh, it looks fine.
Yeah, it's really crazy when you take pictures too. And you look at the picture like, did I really even do anything?
Oh, God, I see a freaking vermitted. Ah. Not that it's a big deal. I just fucking hate them.
You hate those things.
But they're really fun. I got new ways to get rid of them.
I don't have any in my tank.
And then over there, I talked about the Pallas lapora. Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Your Heniochus.
No, it's not. It's my marginalis.
Well, I can give you some because
right.
I got some for an experiment.
That's okay.
Put them in and see who eats them.
No.
And then another coral, I talked about the Pallas lapora. I took about 10 inches from underneath it. You can't even tell. And now it's better because the Pallas lapora was an inch from the surface, so I couldn't even see it. Now it'll grow again, and I can see it. And Dwayne was here, and we were talking about scorched earth versus not, because Dwayne just, napalms his tank, essentially.
I don't know many people that do that. I mean, I think I could do that in areas. Like, I'm getting a little bit tired of some of the stags in my tank.
Right.
But it's another love-hate because it's nothing that says a huge, gorgeous tank than gigantic stag
sure.
colonies.
Well, I didn't do anything over here until it fell over.
Right.
Right? And I didn't do anything over there until actually I had to reposition a powerhead.
Uh-huh.
Not a powerhead, a wave.
Right, right.
And it was like, oh, this coral's in the way and it's blocking flow. I better do this now.
Right, right.
You didn't finish. I cut you off.
I bonsai, and I bonsai with these big staghorn acros because they want to grow up to the top.
Yep.
So on the big green slimer that I have, I keep cutting off the top and letting them go to the side. So now I have this slimer that's going like a bonsai.
You basically topped your tree.
Yeah, I topped.
But you like how it looks.
Yes, yes.
Very cool.
Because it looks like it's starting to look like one of the I guess the pine or cedar trees like in the Oregon coast or whatever,
yeah.
Right? That have that whole sideways action
that's
going
awesome.
Across the middle of the tank. And so, but I could see myself going in and sections of it and just going goodbye.
So I'm looking at this back section with all my euphilia garden, and that's growing forward and stinging stuff. Absolutely. It's progressing, which is good, right? That's what we want. But there's so much of it there now, I'm going to have to go in and just hack it all back.
And there's a danger when you do that, too.
Yeah, sure.
Big danger, because those things, you get a little bacterial infection in there, and
the whole thing could run.
The whole thing runs through the tank.
I've got enough of it, and I remember what I did, and I think I'm just pulling them out.
Yeah.
Pulling out pieces and then putting new heads over. But it'll be interesting, and for me, because when I do it, I like a tank that looks like it's grown in.
Right, I agree.
I like it to look.
I don't like it to look like a fruit stand with a bunch of little things in there.
That's why my tinkering is all to make it look like it's grown.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure with the Ophelia, I can do that again, and after about a week, it'll be fine.
But the one thing I just see in here that doesn't look like the natural thing that grows is you've got this acan up here with two acros planted in the top edge of the acan. The acan is sitting...
That's an experiment.
The acan is sitting at probably like a 70-degree angle, okay, instead of flat, like facing the front of the tank. And then on the top edge of the acan, there's these two acros that are glued to the edge of the acan. So
I've been experimenting.
Very natural.
I've been... Well, so the acan ended up like that because acans don't do well in this tank.
Right.
And... That one is done the best. I got to think it's because of light.
And it doesn't look that great.
And it doesn't look that great. Right. As acans go, they just don't do fantastic in my tank.
Right.
I think there's too much flow for them, to tell you the truth.
That is absolutely one of the things that can...
So that one is there because there is less flow there. That's why I put it there, and I wanted to be able to look at it. I put the two acros on top of it because I wanted to block some of the light that was hitting it.
Well, that's really smart.
So, yes, I do not like how that looks, and I think I'm going to give up on acans in this tank. That wasn't cheap either. That was an expensive piece.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You paid for it to be rainbow and then it turned red?
No, it was like that. But it doesn't open in the same way, so you don't see it.
That's the problem, right?
It doesn't puff up.
Yeah, you've got to get that kind of slow flow, low light, and then they'll get those big polyps on them.
So I'll keep it until the lab changes, because there'll be room for stuff like that over there in my house. But yeah, that is a weird looking thing.
All right, man.
Thanks for pointing out. That's all I can freaking see now. I'm going to have to pull it out like tomorrow.
You're welcome.
No, it's just going to... Look, I got a Jesus snail.
A what?
A Jesus snail. See the snail in the middle on the...
He's
upside down on the center brace because the water is right,
right
up to the
center brace. Yeah,
so he's walking on the surface of the water.
Inverted walking on water.
Yeah, I'm going to use the laser and put a J on him so I know which snail that is.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not going to do that.
Please don't.
What's next, Terrence? Because I'm sure if I'm talking about a Jesus snail, we're not talking
about
anything interesting.
News, and it's 2020.
It is 2020. Is there
news? So what the news is, what is going to be new, Rich? What is it that we see on the horizon for 2020? What are some of the products that we think? What are some of the maybe the hopefully reef-keeping things that are happening that, let's say, the positive things?
I think aquabiomics.
Right.
Coming out, doing the microbiome testing of reef tanks.
That we spoke about last episode.
Is happening. Yep. Okay. Eli's doing that. And I think that's going to be really interesting and yield some useful, interesting data. So I'm looking forward to that.
Automated testing is going to continue to be a big thing.
Yep. And it's going to get better and better.
I think so too. I think we're going to have some new wins in 2020 and probably some disappointments in that area.
Of course.
As always, and I think we're going to get a kind of whole new slew of lighting, I think, like we do almost every year. There'll be something new and amazing that has to come out and see what that is. And then we have all of the little events that we do, the Reefapaloozas.
Those are always fun.
The Aquashellas.
The Macnas.
The Macna. And Macna this year is going to be in Phoenix, Arizona August.
Is that how you pronounce it? I thought it was Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Phoenix. In August. Now, why are people such big whiny babies about you're going to a conference to talk reef geek stuff with reef geeks in a friggin' hotel. Who cares what it's like outside?
To an extent, I agree with you.
Great.
We'll
move on from there then. Terrence escapes with me. Escapes?
But when it is...
Agrees.
When it is... The surface temperature is like of another planet.
Well, that's everywhere now. We're not going to get away from that.
120 some degrees in Phoenix in August. It's a little bit different. But
yeah, I recommend don't go outside.
Yes. And quite frankly, I will agree with you here that... in more than one Macna, I never saw the outside other than maybe to go out front and meet my wife as she came in the day after I did. And other than that, that was it.
Yeah, I guess there's different kind of Macna attendees. I've never been the kind of who's like, well, I'm in Denver now. I better go see what's in Denver. It's like, no, I'm here for this conference. I want to get everything I can out of this conference.
Right. But we're also unique in that we travel probably a lot more than some other people do that come.
You say unique, I say idiots.
This is true. This is absolutely true. Sometimes I wonder that same thing, especially after coming from abroad.
the benefit, I think, to being 120 outside is you could put your dog outside and you'd have to put a note on it that says, I know my dog's outside. Don't break the windows.
Okay.
Or my kid.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun.
It's going to be a good, it's going to be a good conference for sure.
You know, what else is,
what else is on the horizon?
Anything? What else is on the horizon?
Anything on the horizon for you and your reef? You got your, I mean, obviously your own personal stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I also think coral spawning, sexual reproduction is going to continue to be a thing.
It's pretty amazing. I was just, and maybe I'll put this on the next episode. We were, I was in Florida. Let's do this for another episode. Yeah. I'll just touch on it real briefly here as a teaser. I was in Florida at the Frost Science Museum in Miami, and I was also before that out at the Horniman Museum meeting with Jamie there. So I had some great experiences out there. There is a lot.
Wow. So you've seen, like, the spawning labs.
Yes.
You just have to go to FLAC now and see what they're doing.
And yes, kind of and it. The stuff I saw, and I won't, like I said, let's do this on another episode, the pillar coral.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's going to be a thing for 2020.
And tragically sad at the same time.
Yes, it is.
So that's going to keep coming. What I'd really like to happen in 2020 is a way to get new reefers to read what other people have written before they do stuff.
Okay.
I think that would be
awesome.
So you
want people to read.
Yeah, I want people to go, oh, I'm going to do this. Why don't I do a little bit of digging and see how other people have done it and what I should expect and what worked and what didn't.
I'm going to spin on that for a little bit because I don't have such a high expectation of people to read.
I have no expectation. It's a desire and want.
So what I'm going to say is I would like less stupid YouTube video. Okay.
Oh, there's a simple. There's a really easy way to get that.
How's that?
Just don't click on it.
Well, I get that, but
you mean in the world?
I'm talking about in the reef keeping industry specifically.
Oh my god! Dovetail. Do you put our videos on YouTube?
Yes.
You're talking about us. Are we breaking
up? No, I'm not. No.
Are we breaking up? Who are you seeing?
No.
It's Paul, isn't it?
No. No, I'm trying to be serious here. Seriously.
Okay,
I'm trying to make a point. And the point is that I don't believe that, and I don't know that's a good thing either, that we need to read more because this content that we have with video is so helpful when done right, okay? And it's informative. And even if it's just seeing two guys like us talk and talk about things where people can get insights, it's really good to have it on video rather than read a transcript of it. Okay, so I'm going to say that if we could transition 10% of the crappy reef keeping video that's out there into stuff that is helpful that people aren't going to read, I would be fine with that.
I think, okay, that's great. I do think that's the same thing, though.
Okay.
I think the problem we're talking about isn't just in reef keeping, and I think... And I don't know what I think about video of it being useful. I know when I'm looking at a video because I've got no way to flip back and forth easily to know, you know, what did they say back there? This reminds me of something. When I'm looking at an article.
Have you seen the shuttle controls that are available to you?
Yeah, but then I've got to scrub through until I kind of find it, which could
sometimes,
be 30 minutes behind.
Again, back to doing video maybe a better, smarter way.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say.
Is to have time codes that are in the description or something like that. But
someone will automate that.
But I did fix the blower on my BMW, right?
Absolutely.
In like 3.5 minutes.
Right. So I think what we're seeing is, because that's what I've been threatening to do a reefing in a minute.
Right.
Video cast, TM, sponsor of the Skimmate podcast.
Okay.
Maybe it'll be part of the Skimmate podcast. Maybe that'll just be easier. Because I can't take these three hour long, you know, I understand like the 3 hour discussions that people are
sure.
on. That's for the people on it. And I guess you can glean something interesting if that's just on in the background. But it's like if I need to know how to replace my blower, you know what? Show me how to replace the blower.
Get to the point. Yes. A big part of it is get to the point, right?
Show me. And I think the reason is the longer it is, the more it can be monetized, right?
Yes.
So I think we're seeing
yes
monetization
no.
kind of make videos be longer than they need to be.
But there's
they're either 10 or 15 minutes or they're an hour.
Yeah, okay. And,
right?
And
5 minutes.
And I think the people that are more successful aren't doing hour-long videos.
Yeah, they're doing 10 minutes, but I think that's because they've already hit. And so the
sure,
shorter
nobody's
videos
ever,
get the eyes.
Look, here's the deal. In our industry, nobody's ever going to hit. Okay.
Well, hit within our industry.
Yeah. So anybody who's probably hit that has any affiliation with our industry is not going to give us any content that we're really going to watch in this that we're talking about anyway.
That's true. What's the content for? Is the content for entertainment or is it for utility? And I think with reefing, my brain seems to always want it to be about utility, but maybe...
Well, I want to have both. I want both. I really appreciate both. Yeah. And sometimes like what we're doing is a little bit of both together. And then there's other stuff where people are just having fun and having a goof, and that's okay. But then there's other things where it's like you really want to impart some knowledge to somebody about how to get from point A to point B. Okay, a perfect example, we talked in the last episode of me putting together my my heat exchanger, this kind of thing. That's a perfect example where 5 minutes, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Now, there is a bit of, for somebody to do that, they have to want to help, right? Yeah. Or they have to want to have an ego to have their face out there that they're doing it or make themselves somebody in the industry. So there is that. But I think that is the kind of stuff we want. And some of the people who are making videos in the industry aren't doing enough of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. I'll say one other thing. This is what I say about videos all the time. They're not for us. We're too old. It's in the same way that the kids have figured out how to do tone in text.
Mm-hmm.
You know how everyone says it's so hard in writing? That's just old people.
Right.
Young people see text and they know the tone right away because they figured out how to do it.
Right.
Since we don't do it, we don't get to figure it out. Don't put periods at the end of your text to your kids.
Right.
Don't put periods at the end of texts to your kids. They'll feel like you're mad at them. Don't put a period. Don't put periods at the end of sentences when you text your kids.
Okay.
But boy, that took a long time for me to learn.
Right.
So, I don't know. I always think with these video stuff that I could just
I thought
be wrong.
That 3 or 4 years ago. I think even the old people now, ourselves included, of course, are now seeing the value and getting the abilities to understand how to utilize it more and more. Case in point, right? Yeah. I am a little bit more in tune than the average person of my age because of what I have to do. But I do
porn.
Know... I do have to do a lot of video watching. And
guys.
So now I know I can put it at 1.5 speed or I can put it at 2 speed and it's all, it's pitch, altered so it doesn't sound like the chipmunks. And, there are ways to get
through it
and get the info and not waste time and scrub and these kinds of things. And you can learn that because that's exactly what the kids are doing too.
Yeah. And I guess, what do I want it to be useful. If it's going to be useful, if its build is useful, I want it to be useful.
Right. Well, I think we're saying the same thing on that.
Okay. Great. We've come to a grinding halt.
Of the entire podcast right there, because we agreed. All right, let's talk about somebody's comment, because we still have another comment here from our Facebook, okay, talking about dinos, that dinos have become...
Oh, it's Raul again.
Yeah, it's Raul.
Thank you, Raul, very much.
Can you say his name after I told you how to say it once before?
Schwartz.
Oh, my goodness. It's Raul Hinojosa.
That's fantastic.
You like that?
Oh, dude,
you?
I'll laugh so
Do
hard
ever,
if
you
he writes
so
back
funny?
And says, my last name is pronounced Schwartz, you racist pig.
You know what's so funny about this, though, is I laugh all the time when I watch the news, because you'll find the most, Latino person, right, giving the news, right, and they're talking like the whitest guy on the planet until they say their name or they say the name of some taco joint on the corner, and then it's like they just go right into the pronunciation. It's the funniest thing ever.
I used to get the opposite from my college roommate, Combis. He would be speaking in Farsi to his parents, and he would be going along in Farsi, and then bicycle, and then go.
Right.
I just love that so much.
It's so good, man.
So much.
Anyway,
so
Raul Hinojosa says dinos have become more of a problem lately, or more common lately, according to him. Any ideas on why this could be happening? Are there any possible suggestions to avoid them, or a real solution to eliminate them once in a tank? That's a loaded question or a number of questions. Rich, what do you think, man?
I think it has not become more of a problem. I think I think it is a problem, and that I think as one starts to research reefing stuff and you go on forums and things, then you see the things people are having problems with, and it's very easy to think that that is a trend or that that is a global trend or that it is increasing.
Okay.
And really all you're seeing is people with problems who are posting about their problems, because you never see a post that says, I haven't had dinos ever. because that's not what that's not how farms work.
Okay.
So I think be careful about thinking things are really problems, because we've all had dino problems forever. It's not a new thing at all.
Okay.
Since the 80s, you know, when we didn't know what we were doing at all, there were dinos.
Okay.
I had dinos in the other room 10 years ago. I mean, okay. it's when we set up a new tank, it's one of the things that probably.
So you are going to argue against his premise to begin with, which is
the initial premise.
Yes, the initial premise, yes. That they are more common.
Yeah, I think, but I will say, it's come to his attention.
Right.
That it's an issue.
It's more commonly discussed, probably now, maybe as a percentage. Yeah. No. Because it's a thing to talk about.
I don't know if you're having dino issues.
And dinos mean dinoflagellates.
Dinoflagellates, it's a nasty thing that happens. It's a slime that shows up in your tank, and it can be very difficult to deal with.
Right.
Or it can be not so difficult to deal with.
Right. And so the next question is kind of moot if the premise is not there.
I think we're just, yeah.
But how can we avoid them, or how can we, you know, eliminate them once in the tank is his next question.
You go.
So I've never had them, so I can only discuss what I know people have done to successfully eliminate them. One of them is ultraviolet. I know that UV. People have had anecdotal success in running UV even temporarily on their tanks that have gotten dinos. Some of them even an inexpensive UV that they hang on the back of the tank. I think Sanjay even did this on one of his tanks. I think I saw him do this.
He did now.
ding ding. Name, you know, name drop. But the
Sanjay Joshi.
Yes.
A sponsor of the Skimmy podcast.
That'll never happen. No comment. So that's one thing. The other thing that people talk about is to block out all the light and starve them out effectively in the tank by, you know, taking cardboard, blocking all the light out for, say, I don't know how many days, three to five days.
I did it for 4 days.
Okay, so right there. And that's another thing that can help get rid of them. As far as are they coming up more often, the only thing I would say is there are some things that I'm not saying that anything points to them being more often, but there are some things that we do now that we're doing a lot differently than we used to do, which is we start with a lot cleaner tanks.
Yeah, a lot of people are starting with cleaner and bacteria in a bottle.
Fresh and okay. Bacteria in a bottle. And
let it be heard here. I could be wrong.
Of course.
About everything.
Sure.
Raul could be absolutely right. It could be a fucking invasion of dinos.
The dino invasion.
Run.
Like a 50s.
Run.
Like some 50s movie,
that's
right?
That's right. Don't go into the movie theater. You'll never get
attack
out.
Attack of the 50-foot woman, you know.
Attack of the dinos.
So, that's the dino thing. I'm happy I don't have them. I do think that I've got a strong UV on size tank that I have right now, and I think that's definitely been a critical component.
I had them, you know, the slimy stuff. I've only had once since I set all this up in this house. I kind of siphoned it a while, you know, see what was going on.
Right.
Nothing really.
Right.
I didn't ever do anything to nutrients because I think that's bankrupt.
Yeah.
And then I covered the tank and left it dark for 4 days and they were gone.
Right.
Either they burned themselves out or the dark did something.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of tinctures out there now that are supposed to work, but I don't know.
Also this aqua bionics, what'd you call it? Aqua
biomics.
Biomics. Okay. I'm thinking Steve Austin here for a minute. You can stronger, faster. Yes, more powerful. Maybe with that, you're actually able to see, you know, something too in terms of new tank versus, established tank. So yeah. That's a good question, Raul. Thank you.
It's an interesting thing. I think it's another thing of people want an easy answer for it.
Yep.
And it might just be a little bit of work.
Yep.
Yeah. What's next?
All right, man. So a little smart corner thing that we do sometimes of cool things to have on your tank.
You got a camera.
And I wanted to talk. People ask all the time, ask me about cameras and cameras on tanks. It is absolutely, I think, one of the number one things that you should invest in. And I use that word with the smallest font I possibly can because they are so cheap. They're so inexpensive.
Yeah, they weren't when I went, when I got them yes. 4 years ago. Yes. I gave a talk at Apex Breakfast about it.
Yes.
People and were like, oh my God.
I was
like,
the follow-up question that I'll have to mention here too is that everybody always asks, which one works within the Apex? So I can see it in the Apex window there. Now, I will say first and foremost, do not worry about that. First and foremost, because the ones that can work there are not generally the best ones out there or the most inexpensive. That said, the Nest Cam has some ways, and hopefully there might be some ways that we're going to make them more easy to connect, but they're expensive, right? So, they
are. Depends on what you think expensive means.
In terms of...
They're like $100, $150?
No, they're like $200 to $300 for the Nest Cam.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so comparatively...
I haven't bought one in a long
to
time.
The Wyze Cam, which is what I would suggest people buy.
It's like $30.
It's like $25 for the static one and like $35 for the one that actually moves.
And it's... You know how it moves?
How does it move?
From the blood of slave children.
Oh, my goodness. So bad.
Welcome to planet Earth.
Yes.
No, I don't know. It's probably not their blood. It's probably their skin.
Well, anyway, the Wyze Cam, where the company is out of, I think, Seattle, Washington, although the cameras do come from overseas.
Uh-huh. Why do you hate America
and
so
they,
much?
And Darren? they did have a break-in on their cyber thing or something in the last week. Yeah, where people harvested out some email addresses or something. They weren't like watching like a panel of everybody's feed all around the country or something. But the Wyze Cams are super simple to set up and they're super inexpensive. And I've tried both of them, the ones that move and the static ones. I'd say buy the static ones, buy a lot of them. I mean, because they're $25 a piece. So, and they all pull up in the same little dashboard, and you can buy six of them for $150. Put one under the sump here, put one under the sump there, put one up in the canopy, put one, you know, on the left side of the tank or the right side of the tank. They don't take up that much space. And now you have such a great insight wherever you are, even if it doesn't come into the Apex dashboard.
It's been having cameras on the tank and on the sump has been tank saving for me several times. And I've got one that that moves and pans and tilts and zooms. And I use that all the time, even just sitting on the couch.
Right.
It's like, oh, is the calcium or effluent coming out? And I can zoom in and
that's
see.
That's one
it.
Of the reasons why I don't go into my fish cave every 7 to 9 days.
You can
because
just see.
I can see what's going on.
So it's great. And then flip some switches and stuff happens. And,
right.
And then it's great when you're gone. Because if you've got a tank sitter, you can look at things and go, ah, this is the issue.
And you can say, hey, go take a look at this because this looks like this is what's wrong.
Right. And you can fix it. Just so much peace of mind and troubleshootability.
So if you don't have a camera in your tank yet, not just for, I mean, there is a braggability. It's nice to have it on the front of the tank or the side of the tank. And you can show people like, ooh, look, here's my cool fish and coral and everything. But that whole ability to see when something goes wrong, get a camera on your tank.
It's great.
Absolutely.
It's great. I got to put one behind my tank so I can see what's going on back there. I don't have one there right now.
Like I said, $25 a camera. You can't beat it.
I have to look at the form factor. And they're changing so quick.
Oh, also the Wyze one is got a magnetic base.
Yeah.
So whenever there's, and they come with these little stick-on metal discs. And so you can stick that metal disc wherever you want. And then the actual square camera pivots and turns. So you can point it wherever you want to.
Do you have one of the pan tilt zoom ones?
I do. I have a couple of those.
You got one out front.
I have one out front that follows you. You like it's creepy.
You like it? Is it?
Yes, I do.
It's $10 more.
It is $10 more. There are some positives and negatives because sometimes somebody might. It depends on how you mount it. Like the one that I have downstairs, I have mounted on a little gimbal and it's bolted to the wall.
Yeah.
And so that one's really great because I can pan and tilt it whichever direction I want. But the other ones are just super simple to set up and point too. So
does it zoom?
It does, but it's all digital zoom. It doesn't have any of the other kind of zoom.
Yeah, the
functions.
Zoom was important for me for under the house.
Right.
Because they were more expensive at the time.
Yes.
I couldn't put them everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I mean. With the $25, it's just like boom, boom, boom,
five
boom,
of them
boom. Yeah, and again, they come up in the dashboard of their little app so easily.
It's bloop.
Yep.
Bloop. Bloop.
All right, what do you got going there, Rich?
Mine's simple today, but I think it's a good one.
Okay.
And I've been doing this since the beginning. Having a tank in your house, what happens if your overflows get clogged and your tank overflows.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad, right?
Yeah, very bad.
It's bad. So when I moved into this house 18 years ago or whenever the hell it was, I put a float switch in my overflow.
Okay.
That my return is connected to.
It's genius.
And if something happens and the level of the tank goes up, it shuts off the return, therefore stopping a flood from happening.
That is genius. Absolute genius. And I've seen a lot of different weird things that are done with the overflows. Like Levinson has his weird thing that he does with.
Oh, those are all cool. Like the muffler
check
and the check valve thing.
Yeah.
There's a million things.
There's a lot of different things, but the float switch,
cool stuff.
Float switch in the overflow that goes to be a cutoff on your return pump and alarm, of course, at the same time. Wow, that's a really cool thing. And a lot of people could do that too with a magnetic one. Like they could stick a magnetic float switch or an optical sensor in there as well.
Yeah. The options now are much greater.
Uh-huh.
I've just got an auto top off box. Actually, it's not. I had to replace it, and auto top off was closed, so it's another company.
I'm just thinking, like, so what a great idea too to just like I said, the optical ones that that Neptune Systems happens to have. I can't think of any other one. But I mean, you can drill a hole in there and like permanently mount this optical sensor.
And actually, it's really nice because if you do it, so it's when they're dry, are they normally closed or whatever? I don't know. So it's dry.
Right.
So some of the problem with the optical, an issue, not a problem, that you have to just be aware of with the optical sensor is when scum grows on them, stopping the
right,
optical.
Right, but this is above the water level.
But it's dry,
yeah.
So you just set it whatever
correct.
The way is. So as soon as it's
uh-huh.
wet, it goes, oh my God, and
yes.
it will work forever. That's great.
Yeah, I like the idea. I like it a lot.
Woohoo!
I like it a lot.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah, something like that.
Woo! We should disagree.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the other way. I think it's a terrible idea and will kill your tank. Although, I want to set up another one now because
okay.
my return is not set up through the microprocessor.
You mean it's not plugged into like an energy bar, right?
Right.
Okay.
Because that's a thing.
Right.
You know, that's the redundancy thing.
Sure.
So I would have to do something else to get it to give me an alarm. Or I
right.
just get another sensor that would give me an alarm when that happens.
Right, right. Well.
Or...
Well, we can't go through it all here, Rich, on the
we'll
podcast.
Okay. We could. But there's so many things you could do.
Sure.
So I don't have anything crazy on my smart corner today, but
okay.
I do have something on the something to think about that might
okay.
be interesting.
Let's talk about that.
Tell me, Terrence, why does it seem like people...
Sage. Sage, Terrence.
Tell me, wise one. master of time, space, and dimension. Why does it seem like so many people in reefing, and probably everything else, but let's just talk about reefing, are allergic to effort?
Okay. Is it generational?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I know some of why that may be, but what exactly what I'm seeing
so
is...
So you want the prize, but you don't want to work for the prize.
Well, not. I don't think it's that... I don't think it's that horrible.
Okay.
I think
that horrible.
But I think
the horror.
You know, what's the answer to a lot of algae problems? Remove the algae. Not all algae problems.
Okay.
Right? So, but algae. What's the answer to vermitted snails? Remove the vermitted snails.
Okay.
You know, what do you have to do for
aptasia?
Aptasia. Remove the aptasia. Mahanos.
Right.
Remove the mahanos. Acro-eating flatworms.
Hey, by the way, you said Mahanos, so you got the J right on that one.
That's because I am friends with Raul.
Sorry, I had to bring that
Maginos.
Up.
Maginos. Maginos.
Yo quiero reef.
Yo quiero reef. Yo quiero Mahano. Acro-eating flatworms.
Right.
Right? They're not the death sentence.
Right.
But people, I wrote an article like 10 years ago about them not being a death sentence. But everyone still seems to think they're a death sentence. So it's this
so
polarized,
it's lazy versus the right kind of a lazy.
Well, it's not even that. I don't think. Although that's a nice reference to me. I think it's maybe it's the answer can't be so simple as to just go in there and break all the vermitted snails until there aren't any, and it'll just take some time. It's people want it done now,
right?
And I think.
That is definitely a, whether it's generational or it's the last 5 years kind of thinking by a larger group of people, there is definitely now a more instantaneous gratification kind of way of thinking in, you know, in the culture.
I guess perhaps also as reefing has gotten better, there are solutions to problems.
Right.
And so, you know, are we, you know, is that the baseline now is that, oh, there should be just something I can add in here and it will take care of it.
Well, I mean, this is, again, I'm going back to the general thing in our society now that is, what pill do I need to take care of this? Oh, wait a second. I've got some pain. Let me take a Vicodin. Oh, wait, Vicodin. Oh, that gave me constipation.
I've got some Narco.
I've got a special pill.
And a stool softener.
Exactly.
I'm going to take a stool softener have so you I can seen keep that taking commercial? My opioids.
Have you seen that commercial? There's a commercial of a guy on a construction site talking about how it pains him to the fact that he has to take these painkillers. Now that he has to take these painkillers, he's constipated. So he now takes it's a commercial for a pill for that.
Wow, getting rid of cable has been fantastic for me. So I don't see these anymore.
So yeah, so I'm like, I think there is an element of that, and then it surfaces itself in the Facebook groups of reef keeping now, which is back to what we just spoke about earlier, which is why don't people read more? Can they go find it out? Can they go Google this thing, or can they do whatever? And instead, it's worn me out, and I've had to get off of a couple of these groups. It's like, can you identify this for me? And it is a vermetted snail,
right?
Can you tell me how to get rid of it then? Can you tell me how to do this?
Right?
Can I do it tomorrow?
There's so much written about this stuff.
And then you're like,
Google it.
Yeah. And then the next thing is, well, just go in and snap them off. Oh, do I really have to do that?
Yeah.
Isn't there something I can put into the thing and just get rid of them all? You know, very quickly, like
Where's
by tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's new either. It probably was there all the time, but I ignored it mostly because I was had other things that were capturing my attention about
it
the
had
hobby.
It had to be there for all times anyway. Otherwise, all of these companies who sell all of these, as you say, tinctures would not exist in the first place. I mean, there's something for everything, right? Just like there's something for everything in the Walgreens, you know?
Right.
And so there's always been an element of this, but I do believe that the quick answer is, we're on a real fast track in that in a lot of areas on the internet now, as far as what people's expectations are.
Maybe we just have to figure out how to deal with it. Just like, you know, there's too much information, so where do you go to get your information? That's a whole thing we got to figure out. But I guess when I look at it now, what concerns me about it the most is that people don't seem to have, some people don't seem to have any answers to the why questions about their reef. And
give me an example on that.
And I think that's the most important thing. Why am I adding UV?
Okay.
Why am I adding, you know, anything?
So they're following a recipe, you're saying.
They're doing, which I can't deal with.
Right.
You know, I've always been against recipes. I think you become a better steward of your animals, and you will be in the hobby longer and successfully if you have some kind of understanding about what you're doing. Now, you could be wrong, and you can change your mind, and that's fine. I would take somebody who is wrong but open to listening about a conversation about what they're doing over somebody who's just following a recipe any day as somebody I would want to work with, or somebody in the future who I would want to get advice from, because they're developing an understanding of the system. And, you know, just pouring juice in the tank to deal with something, and please, when you're pouring a juice in, don't ignore the horror stories about that juice.
Right, right,
you
for
know,
sure.
Don't ignore everyone. I see so many people ignoring the horror stories.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't use magic juices, but man, you know, the first time I ever ran ChemiClean,
right?
You know, there was a couple, 3 weeks of deep research. What's going on?
Right.
What has happened? Well, what do people experience?
I keep talking about flucosinol with me, too, at the same time. It took me forever to put that stuff into my tank.
I'm going to put this in the tank.
It wasn't like I read it one time. It was like, oh, I can fix my paropsis. Let me go buy some and put it in the tank. No, it was like I wanted to know more. But I think a big element of this is, I mean, think about cars, right? So back, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you had to know how to change a tire. You had to know how to do these things. And you had to understand pretty much how they worked.
Yeah.
And that's been baked out of our society quite a bit year after year, right? Now you put a key in and it works. You don't even have to change your oil. You don't have to know what spark plugs do. You don't have to know any of these things. And so I'm not saying it's good or bad.
The expectation maybe that is everything should be that way.
Yes, I agree.
It's a great expectation.
Yeah.
I,
I do believe that that is how people's psyches are about lots of things. You know, we now have an instant pot in our kitchen, right?
Right.
You throw all the stuff in the instant pot, you hit a button, and something comes out, and it's pretty kind of okay, good. Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of that happens, and this is what people's expectations are of reef tanks, and that's clearly not there yet. There may become a day where it is
great.
Where even having a reef tank is like sea monkeys, right?
That'd
where
be great because I'll
open
be doing
package
something
one,
else.
You pour it in. No, I get it, but I think that's
making art with reefs instead.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a really good thing to ponder and to think about. Do you not know what you're getting into? You have to do these things. These are things that are going to happen to you, and you probably should understand more about why, you know, they're happening and how you can take care of it.
Yeah, and I see it, you know, people do fine as long as everything's doing fine.
Right.
And then one thing goes bad and they don't...
They're out of the hobby
just
in
no clue.
3 weeks.
Yeah, because it just...
Or it sits in the corner for 6 months until they're out of the hobby and they finally take it down. Yeah,
and then they start taking the first advice that somebody answers on a form, and it's like, who is that person and why do you trust them? And so it's back to the reading again.
Oh, the trust thing is super important.
You
got to
read all
the
forms. Yeah, you need... You know,
here's one back for like reef to reef, right? I don't really care how many times the guy's posted. They do have the kind of how many times the guy has been liked on something, but... I mean, who really ranks what somebody has as far as good information, like quality information?
There's no ranking, and those rankings can be really wrong.
Correct.
It's just like likes on everything else. It doesn't actually mean...
But hey, since we're bouncing ideas, why couldn't they... Look, this is a small group of people here, right? And you can identify who these people are, which is another rant we'll get into another episode. I guess remember that one.
Anonymity?
Yes, the anonymity rant. But you do know who some of these people are, right? And so the guy who runs it, right, can go, you know what? I know this is Rich Ross. I know Rich Ross knows his stuff.
They expert contributor award, but I'll tell you this.
But does anybody pay attention to that?
No one gives a crap.
Right.
When I come on and say something like, yeah, just get rid of the snails. Don't do a biological control. You're going to do the bumblebee snails. They're going to have effects. First of all, it's going to be slower than you want, and it's going to have they're going to eat stuff you don't want. And they go, screw you. I'm going to.
Sure. That's also because it's a hybrid, and we're off topic a little bit. But it's a hybrid between the anonymity and the expert thing, and the ability to kind of really quickly understand who this person is and what they've done. And if those things are put together, I think people have an opportunity, and they're taught. An opportunity to be able to understand that this is probably great information. This is probably mediocre.
You know, maybe just forms are a hard place to actually get information from. Maybe what we're talking about is hard.
Yeah.
That you have to actually spend some time reading and see what the trends are and what people who are respected, who seem respected, even if you don't know them, what do they have to say? I mean, an hour of reading on any form will give you an idea of
who a dick
people
is
might
and
know
like
what they're doing.
Who's a person who really
you
cares?
Dick.
who's a person who cares about giving information to people and who will listen? And yeah, you definitely do. It's all an interesting topic. And taking care of a reef is tough. It's an undertaking, and some people I think get in thinking there's going to be these, you know, snap to it solutions to things.
And there's always someone who'll give them a snap to it solution.
That's for sure.
And I'm thrilled to have somebody completely tell me, no, this magic juice is the best magic juice. Great. Tell me how and why it works, and you know, give me a little bit of background, and maybe I'll come around to it, and maybe we'll just disagree. But if you have a why,
sure,
we've got a discussion, and both of us then have an opportunity to change our mind. If your answer is, you know,
and back to Flucosinol, that was me on Flucosinol.
Said
that was that was me. That was a. I keep coming back to that, but that was me who is, you know, I am the skeptic. That's not I'm not like you who actually does really think about stuff. Sometimes I just go no, because it's something I'm adding, and I don't want to deal with having to figure out much more than that.
Right.
And so with that, I did the research and I looked into it. I spent the time and came out with something that worked. So, okay.
Yeah. So maybe I'm wrong.
More to ponder.
Yeah.
This is a good episode, man.
Thanks.
We got to let everybody know that, you know, we are out on Facebook, and it is past Rich's bedtime.
And I had surgery, so I'm a little tired.
And he had surgery. So we are out there on Facebook. We would like you to give us, you know, some feedback. We'd also like you to rate the podcast. That would be great. And rate it, you know, whatever you think, but, you know, better is better than worse.
Yeah, and if you hate the podcast, let us know that, too.
Because sure.
If we're doing this, then nobody cares.
Yeah, if you heard one episode and you're like, this is crap.
These
you
guys
know?
Are asses. Or half of these guys are
Could
asses.
You stop talking about this and please talk about that? We would love that, too.
We'd love that. Any information you want to give us,
and we do have
us know.
We do have a Patreon, so...
We do. We'll figure out how to...
How to give you a link or whatever, but if you go out to Patreon, you will find it, and if you want to dump some coin in there, it tells us that you really value what we're doing here and spending the time that we do to put this together.
Yeah. And if you have questions that we should cover or you have other questions, you know, we're happy to answer them as, you know, whatever you put on our pages, we'll look at.
We will try to keep this on an every other week kind of, you know, kind of schedule as best we can. We both have lots of things going on in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'm going to be in the field for 3 weeks.
Oh, well,
coming up soon.
You know, we'll figure it out and we'll try to do the best
Poor
we can.
Me.
And let everybody know if you like it too, you know. Yeah. tell your friends and all of that, and have them, you know, do some sharing on Facebook and Twitter and all those other places. And until the next time, this is the Skim 8 Podcast, Rich.
This is the Skim 8 Podcast, Terrence.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you later.
On the flip side, we need sayings.
Sayings. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
Like, okay, I got you. We'll have to come up with something, man.
Yours should be like, hinky dinky dinky.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yo quiero reef.
Yo quiero reef is yours?
That's
you
mine.
Say that anytime. Mine's going to be,
ooh-wee. Okay.
Ooh-wee.
All right, man. Later.